Today's daf is daf Lamed Tes, right here in Masechet Bava Metzia, the third perek, perek Hamafkid, and we are in the middle of the discussion of the din that relates to both concept of Hashavas Aveda and Pikadon, which is what to do with what appears to be a piece of abandoned property. Over there, we have to take care of that property, and we mentioned yesterday that there are three different levels of such a property. And the three different levels are property of shivuyim, property of netushim, property of ritushim. So we have nichse shivuyim, means people that went away and that just didn't return, and there are rumors that they died. Then there's also a middle situation, which is natush. Property which is natush is property where people went away, have been away longer than anybody thought they would be away, but there is nobody claiming that they died. We just don't know what happened to them. And then we have ritushim, where people did not go away. They disappeared. And over there, the assumption is that if they suddenly disappeared, they're trying to make themselves invisible, for whatever reason, taxes, other issues, as we'll see later on. And therefore, since they had opportunities in which they could have fixed up the property and made sure that somebody would take care of it, paying him or whatever, offering him a percentage while they were away and didn't, it's not our business. Whatever their reason is up to them. But we're certainly not going to get involved where the owner himself didn't take any kind of steps to protect himself, either because there's a reason for it, or if there's no reason, it's an aveda midah. So those were the three situations we had. Now, in the middle situation, that was where we found the machlokas of Reb Shimon ben Gamliel and the Chachamim, which turns out to be the same machlokas as Rav and Shmuel. Rav and Shmuel argued what the din is, are we moridim korov lenichse yitomim, lenichse shvuyim. The situation over there was, we have a next of kin. The next of kin figures may end up being mine anyway, if the guy died. So in the middle case of the netushim, there was a machlokas, whether or not, and apparently it's the same machlokas that we have over here in the Braita, do we or don't we morid the nichse netushim, where we did not hear that they had died. As a matter of fact, Tosfos even asks, if it's so clearly a machlokas over here, tanoim, so then why didn't we ask the question on Rav and Shmuel? How come they're arguing about a machlokas tanoim? Give it over to them and allow them to take care of it, right? No, not as if they were the inheritors. Caretakers who are willing to invest because of the fact that there's a good chance that ultimately it's going to be theirs. So why isn't the machlokas of Shimon ben Gamliel and the Tanakama in the middle case of the Tushim, the machlokas of Rav and Shmuel? Because we did say Tanar, but we're not asking it on the Mishnah, as the Tosfos says. Either this was not a Braita that was well known, so Rav and Shmuel didn't know this Braita. But Eino Chinami, there's no difference in the Braita. Or it may be that the Shitot were not clear. In other words, if the Braita was known, it may be that there was a hipuch of the Shita of Shem Gamliel, and the Chachom, so they couldn't just say Halach of Shem Gamliel, Halach of Chachom. So they made it as if it was their own Machloket, even though it was really a Machloket Tanoit. I can't say it again.
This is a Nixay Netushim, right?
Nichsei netushim, the middle case. In the case of nichsei, in the right, there's no rumors it was being done. Yeah, but in the first case of nichsei shvuyim, so over there we didn't have a machlokas, and we're assuming. I mean, that certainly that was not something that's different here between the Tanoim and Rav and Shmuel. That was that they were talking about nichsei netushim and not nichsei shvuyim. So we got up to yesterday the analysis of the language of netushim and ritushim brought rise for the psukim, and we're up to the last word on the third line. Tana. Now the Braita also says, and this was a din that we had referred to earlier, which is where actually the machlokas of Shmuel revolved around, because Rav said ein moridin because we're afraid they're going to mess it up. Because being as they don't know that the guy's dead and he may show up at any moment, this is sort of a hit and run kind of situation. Oh man. You know, grab what you can, don't put in anything into the land, and make off like a bandit. Meanwhile, the guy comes back and his field has been completely misused. The land is depleted. There's been no fertilizing or anything like that. So Rav said, why would we ever put anybody into that situation? Shmuel referred to this Braita that we're now discussing for the first time as a Braita, which says Kulam Shamim Lehem Ka'aris, that the guy that goes into the field is not going to be hit and run because we give him the din of a sharecropper, and therefore, like any sharecropper, is not hit and run. It's a long-term investment. It's not as if the guy's going to come back tomorrow and he's going to take it away. He's not going to be able to take it away because Beit Din gave me the rights to a proportion of what it is that I invested over here. So that was Shmuel's taina. So here we are at the Braita, finally, that actually discusses Kulam Shamim Lehem Ka'aris in all cases. Now, in all cases, doesn't make sense because we know it's not in all cases. The only case where it makes sense is the Gemara points out, hey, when you say Shamim Lehem Ka'aris, so we give him a bit of a sharecropper, which of the three cases were we talking about? Ilema Ashvuyin, if you're talking about the first case, where there were rumors of the demise of the person who has disappeared overseas. I mean, the Gemara said over there that even, the Braita said over there that even if you hear the guy is coming, and he says, oh my God, he's coming. Let's get those pears off the trees right now into my warehouse. That's great. Zoriz v'niskara. So then he's certainly not going to be needed to tell us that the long term that he leaves there is an artist. He's even better than an artist. The guy can't ask back for what it is that he grew before. So certainly that's not ka'aris. So if that's the case, if ashta zoriz v'niskara, my da ashpach mi boy, his investment, there's a chashash that we're going to take it away from him. Obviously not. Ela, what could it be on the last case of the ritushim? There it says that we take any of the things that he took and wants to claim now, we take it away from him. So he had no right to be there. So that can't be the case that we make him a sharecropper. The only possible case is the middle case, which was indeed the machlokes of Rabbi Shmuel, which is the case of Nitushim. Now, there was a machlokes between the Rabbanan and Reb Shimon Gamliel, just as there was a machlokes Rabbi Shmuel. And so when you say in the Braita, we definitely make him a sharecropper, I mean, according to whom? I mean, even the Rabbanan say, No, he's out of there. He's got no right to be there. We take anything that he makes away from him. So, obviously, can't be the Rabbanan to give him a dinner of a sharecropper. And Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, it even doesn't make sense according to him, because what was the language of Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, if you recall? Shamati shanetushim kishvuyim. That property that was natush, meaning that the owners disappeared overseas and never came back, are the same as property where somebody was basically captured. And rumors have it that he was killed, and he was a terrorist victim. So it means he's got the same halacha. If it's kishvuyim, so then again the question is, you wouldn't use the words that we give him the name of an artist. We already said that he can make off like a bandit. We certainly don't use the words that he could be an artist. Well, no. What Reb Shimon Gamliel meant was not literally shamati kanashanatushim kishvuyim completely. He meant kishvuyim v'lo shvuyim. In other words, kishvuyim in the sense that we're not going to be motzino domiado. And we leave him in the property, and he's right to take a chelek of the produce. But, I mean, that doesn't mean in exactly the same way that is a shvuyim. The shvuyim was ilu hatam zariz v'niskar. Over there, he can indeed make off like a bandit until such time as the guy comes. In this case, the most that we'll do for him is we'll give him the percentage that a normal sharecropper would have made. Umay shnami hadetznan, and why is this different than the case of hamotzio tzaot al nechsei ishto? Somebody gets married. When he gets married, he has the right to the profits of Nichsei Malu. Well, thinking, as all men do, that the marriage is forever, having given a diamond after all, so he figures, why not invest in this great new field that my wife has brought? I mean, it's true, it's hers technically, but, I get all of the production of it. So he puts a massive investment in sprinkler systems, and he smooths it out, he brings fill dirt, he's got topsoil. I mean, it's unbelievable. $1 million he's invested. He uses it all of 3 months before they get divorced. So now what? So Hotziar Bevi Achalkima, he may have invested a tremendous amount of money and got nothing back, very little bit. Or maybe the opposite. Maybe this guy went and he just took whatever he could out of the field and he didn't invest much. So maybe he was invested Kima V'Achal Arbe. Basically, it doesn't matter because Masho Tzio Tzio Masho Achal Achal, there's no allowances made at the end. Whatever he got out of it, he got out of it. Whatever he invested. It was basically a risky endeavor, like all marriage. So, she ended up having this guy eat his field. He ended up investing in a woman's field that he's not married to. What can you do? That's life. So why is it different than that case where you're taking your chances? Over here, you went into the field thinking, you know, you might be a Yorish, but you might not be a Yorish. It's like marriage. So why is it any different than that? No, it's different than that. Because holodamia el alaha, if anything, you want to make it similar to a case. It's similar to this case. Hamotziotzaot al nechsei ishto kitana. Somebody gets married to a ketana, meaning a yitoma. Now over there, if she wants to be mima'enet and say, I don't like you anymore, I'm going back to mommy, that's what she can do at any time. So over there, you have very strong doubts as to whether it's worthwhile investing. That's the case over here. This guy went overseas and has dropped out of sight. You're thinking to yourself, you know, I mean, it could come back at any minute. What am I going to do? I'm going to invest. And the same thing is true. You marry a ketana. She'll change her mind tomorrow. I mean, this is all moods. No, I'm not going to invest based on a mood. So the din over there is that the halacha is that it's kemotzi al nechsei acher dami. It's like putting money into somebody else's field, meaning that will give you the rights of an oris. So what does that show you? That alma kiven ala samchas daite, takin le rabbonu kechva lefsedino. The whole point over here is that the rabbonan, in cases where you have rights that might be abused, because if your rights are not maintainable outside of an iffy situation, such as a case where the relative may show up at any minute, or such as a case where the child may walk out at you at any minute, what is your psychological reaction? Let me take advantage of what I got while I can. But then the result is that you're going to destroy the other person's property. Therefore, the rabbonan made you a takana, that you are going to be given rights of an artist. But where you're ready on your own to take a chance, you're married. And what are you going to do? You're going to put in what you can. You're not going to make any takana. There's no need to make a takana. You went into a situation where there's a good chance it'll work out, a good chance it won't work out. You take your risk. You're certainly not going to be mafsisi. That's the point. So then you'll say to yourself, so then why not in the original case if it's shavui then, right? So why can't you say the same thing? Now here there's a very, very delicate balance, because consider what's happening over here. In the case of the shavui, there are rumors that the guy is dead. So you would say, if there's rumors that the guy is dead, so then we're in a case which is similar to a marriage, not a marriage to a ketana. So then we don't need to make a takana that he should be an oris, right? Yes, but there's one problem. The problem is that there's a tendency in both directions that needs to be balanced. On the one hand, when somebody wants to believe that something is going to be theirs, so you're going to say, all right, so then he's going to invest. But if the reason it's going to be theirs is because the other guy dropped dead, so now what you're thinking is like this. You know, there's a very good chance he dropped dead. If he did, then if I abuse the property, who's going to have anything to say about it?
No. Who's speaking?
We're talking about the shavui. The guy goes into the nechsei shavui. So you'd say, so why not treat the shavui as a marriage and not give him any rights? We said we'll give the shavui rights as an oris too. Even better rights than that, because he's a zoris v'nizkar. So what I'm pointing out is that we have three different situations. We have the iffy situation, which is marriage to a ketana, and the other case of the iffy situation where a guy has disappeared and he's natush, not shavui. No rumors that he's dead, right? So it's a mood, basically. Today he's dead, tomorrow he's alive. Okay, so there we got to do something for you in order to make sure that you're going to invest and you're not going to be a mafsid. Then we have a normal situation where a guy is married, but he's also living under certain psychological constraints. Those psychological constraints are you're expected to behave like a mensch. So therefore, even if you yourself have a feeling that this ain't going to work out, and what you'd like to do is abuse the field and take as much as you can from your new wife's field because you don't believe the marriage is going to work out, what are people going to say? So then you end up divorcing her a year later, and people are going to say, look what he left her. He left her a completely ruined field because, yeah, obviously the guy's terrible. Okay. So there you have a balance in which it's worthwhile for you to invest like a mensch and hope for the best, right? But we also have a third situation. The third situation is property that was natush, where you're thinking to yourself, there's a 90% chance that the guy is dead. Am I going to invest with a 10% chance that I lose everything? Minimally. So I'll make a minimal investment, right? But on the other hand, do I have to worry about abuse? I mean, 90% of the guy's dead. Who's going to make a tine on me if I abuse the field? So they're going to say, hey, he abused his own field. I mean, it's not that he's not a mensch. He didn't have the money to put in whatever. There, we also need to make a takana because you'll end up abusing it because of the fact that the guy may be dead. So we really have three situations, because one of them gives you your psychology works in both directions. On the one hand, you're willing to invest more if it's more likely they'll stay by you. But on the other hand, if there's a chance that no one will ever have anything to say about how you acted, there's a chance that you'll also take the easy way out and you'll say, I mean, who's going to say anything? So because of that, we want to put pressure on you. We need to make your investment more kedai. So we do that by even giving the natush, the din of an aris, and better. Because whatever you got, meanwhile. But that very fact that whatever you got, encourages you to run away. Ah, so therefore, it's kedai for you to invest, because whatever you invest, you're not going to lose, that's for sure. We give you a din of an aris. So we have a very delicate balance, which is based on the insight into alternating drives within a human being's mind, his selfishness and his desire for long-term investment as well. And because of that, we've made sort of a standard, because otherwise we're going to have to, send a guy to a psychiatrist in every case to decide how much does he really want to invest in. No, so we make a standard that we give you a certain level of rights, a certain level of protection, certain level of encouragement in that you could make off with whatever you got before the guy gets back. And then we have now our three situations of property, that was property that was abandoned, who takes care of that property, and we have three different situations in which a potential stranger is dealing with somebody else's property, which might be his own, okay? All right, so these are very subtle but clear-cut hagdarot. Now, what I don't like about all of this is, you said the words v'chulam, okay? What do you mean, v'chulan shami lam karis? We figured out one case, which was the middle case of abandoned property where there were no rumors about the owner's death. It's not that he's been kidnapped or anything. He went overseas on a business trip. And then he disappeared. So over there, we say the halacha is shami lam karis. But that's not what you said. You said, and all of the cases. That can't be all of the cases. So which case was it talking about? V'chulam la tuyemai. What are you adding? Ah, we're adding Reb Nachman, because what Reb Nachman or Mashmuel said was like this. First of all, shavui shenishba, where you've got a kidnapping. Moridin korov lenefasa. So over there, the next of kin goes down into the property. But yatzala dat, if however he just disappeared on his own, case of ratush, ain moridin korov lenefasa. Okay, so far no chiddush. This is exactly what Shmuel said before, and this is the middle case. I'll leave it up Shemim Gamliel, where the din is that he has the right of an aris. But Reb Nachman Didei adds a case in which a boreach, a person who is clearly running away from the law, and he disappears suddenly. Areyu kishavui. So he has a din of a shavui. Now that's a chiddush. Now, when you say boreach, Reb Nachman, what do you mean? Boreach machmat mai. Why is he running away? Ilema boreach machmat karga. If he's running away because he does not want to be in town when they assess the head tax of the year, so then he knows in advance that that's going to happen. Not as if anybody's after him. He doesn't want to be assessed. So then he's got plenty of time to let people know that he's leaving town and he could take care of the property and therefore it should be ratush. So then Haina Ladad, right? So you want to add a case of Boreach Mahmad Miradin. The guy got into trouble with the law. That's the point. He murdered somebody. Now they find out about him. He hears the cops are on the way and he disappears. So somebody who disappears like that would indeed have a din of a natush. And that's what we're saying. V'chulam, we give him a din of an ari. Even this case of Reb Nachman. A guy who's been kidnapped. Now, let us add something we haven't discussed until now. Abandoned property. Normally, the case we've been talking until now is abandoned property where we want someone to invest in the property and we give him rights. Now we're talking about abandoned property in which the produce of the year is currently ready for collection. So either kama, which we call ktsira for the harvest, anavim, which we call the picking, the betsira for the harvest, tamarim, which we call gedira, it's all the same idea. In English, we don't have these careful, we only have the picking and the harvest. Okay. But here, every fruit has its own name. But the point is that we don't want the guy's investment. The investment's already been made. It's absurd for us to put a koro into that situation who will then claim, well, you know, I took the trouble of the betsira, so I should keep it. That's crazy. We want to put the koro in there. He takes the trouble of planting and fertilizing, and then we could talk to him about the Batsira. Now he should walk off with the other guy's Batsira. So we certainly are not going to do that. So what do? We appoint, the court appoints a guardian. Look at this. Poor David doesn't know about my new launching. No, but what about him? He was falling. I was like, yeah, I got that new approach. So, well, I mean, our president didn't even know what it was all about, but he was the target. So, well, let's go. So what happens then? What we do is we take an apotropos to the court appointee, a guardian, and he does the katira, the batira, the gadira, the masika. Now, we now have a blank slate, so to speak. Okay, now bring the karov, bring the next of kin. So at this point, achakach morigim karov l'nechasav. Wait a minute, says the Gemara. If Lamaisa, you're telling me you have an option of appointing a trustee, why appoint a karov at all? Isn't a trustee a better deal than a karov?
Trustee for who?
For the person who was captured. This guy was captured by kidnappers, by goyim, by terrorists, whatever. So the court should appoint a guardian who then will give a full accounting and so on, and the investments will be made out of the proceeds of the field. And I mean, why would we... There's bound to be problems when it's a relative, as you know. I mean, so why would we put a karov if we could have a trustee? I mean, now you're telling me you could have a trustee. No, it says the Gemara, because velukim apotropa l'olam. Why can't we have a permanent trustee, a guardian? Because apotropa l'diknani, we do not appoint long-term guardianship over adult property. Now, why is this true? As a big machlokas rishon. Some say because you won't find people. In other words, people like to get into the emotional business of caring for the poor orphan. So they will offer their services to care for the orphan. But when it comes to an adult, if the court's going to have to, every time there's a problem with an adult's property, start looking around for guardians, forget about it. Where are we going to find such a thing? Even to pay. I mean, if once a guy's taking the trouble running a farm, run your own farm. Why are you going to do it for him? To be a foreman? If I'm capable of it, so I'll do my own. You want somebody to drop his own thing? It's difficult. Because remember, he's got to be an expert, right? I'm going to take some schmo and make him this will be the default position of people who went to yeshiva, you know. So now they'll be court-appointed apotropos. That's all we need. Now they become teachers. To destroy the next generation. Okay. So we won't do that. So therefore, it says the Rashba, if that's the case, then if somebody indeed volunteers, then certainly that would be a deed than to bringing a relative, if the problem is a logistical problem. But the Balamar says just the opposite. Put somebody into a permanent position of guardianship, and you're bound to end up in more trouble. Because the only guy that's going to offer his services for the case of a gadol as opposed to a katan, we don't have that emotive context, is either a politician who wants to be on the volunteer fire department because it'll look good, So as the Gemara says elsewhere, people like to say, court trust me, I'm going to court appoint a trustee for X, Y, and Z. So it looks good on your resume, but then you can't trust the politician. So long term, it's going to be trouble. Or a do-gooder, which is even going to be more trouble, because the end result is you put somebody in a position where he's being trusted and so on, that trust corrupts. So that we do not prefer long-term situation with apotropos. Short-term, okay, there's a batir that needs to be handled, that will do. So according to the ra'ah, ein achinami, even if somebody would volunteer, we wouldn't accept him. We would prefer to use next of kin in the halacha of korov l'nechsav. Amar Rav Huna, now that we are on the topic of... Because this is now the subset of Hashavas Aveda. In the same way that we learned out from a pasuk, that if you see a raging river on its way to a field, you're mechuyev to build a wall. So too, if you see a field that is gradually going into decay, because the owners have disappeared, and it's going to be costing him a lot of money, take care of it. So here the court gets involved in taking care of it. Omer Rav Huna, when it comes to a child, ein moridin katal l'nechse shavui. So first of all, a child who is the next of kin is not trustworthy to take proper care, and therefore we will not use a child to be the next of kin in charge. V'lo karov l'nechse katan. And the other way is also true. We will not allow a relative to go into, we're going to see why, to go into as a next of kin an abandoned field that belonged to a minor. So let's say father is killed by a terrorist, and they take the child as a shavui, right? So over there, we will not allow the next of kin. So he's now the heir of his father's property. He's not here. And there's the next of kin who says, okay, I'll take care of the property. We won't allow that. We'll see why. Not only that. No, next kin of the cotton. No, cotton, even if he is the kin, we won't. So v'lo karov machmat karov l'nechse katan. Not only that, not only will we not allow the next of kin. And you understand right off the bat that the problem with the next of kin is obviously, it's the classic problem that appeared throughout history of, the good uncle who was taking care of the kingdom for them. I mean, it ends up being the good uncles. So that's what's going to happen over here. In the end, someone will take advantage of the cotton, claiming that the property is actually theirs. I mean, after all, they also inherited. I mean, they'll explain somehow or other. People will lose track of what happened. But what's worse, the child will believe it. So in other words, if this is standard behavior, the child grows up believing that his uncle is the owner of the field. And that, you know, he is now doing him a big favor by allowing him, you know, his bedroom in the doghouse and the whole story, you know. The Cinderella's. Yeah, exactly. It's that type of thing. So not only a Korov, but a Korov of a Korov. Even somebody who wouldn't be able to himself inherit. Let's say that this child has a brother who's next of kin. This brother has a brother who is unrelated to this brother. Because he had a half-brother, the Kotan has a half-brother, from a father who could have inherited. And now that brother has a half-brother himself now. But that's now related to through a mother that's not the mother of the Kotan. So now he's unrelated completely with the third brother. Even that person. Because ultimately, he could say, actually, my brother inherited it, you know, we inherited it from our mother because she died, my father died before, and then we both, big children of the same mother, who's not the mother of this cotton, inherited it from our mother, not from our father. You know, and people will forget how it came to be and so on. So even a cotton who is, even a korob of a korob doesn't get a right to go into the nixay cotton. So let's start. Let's explain. Emorin cotton le nixay shavui. That's because dilma mafsidlo. The reason that a next of kin cotton cannot go down to abandoned property, he just doesn't know enough as a miner to be trusted to take good care of the field. The other way around, lo karov machmat karov, even, it means, even a karov machmat karov, is not allowed into nixay katan. That's talking about a brother through a common mother who can ultimately claim that they got it from a mother. Why a karov a nixay katan can never be allowed in the nixay katan? Because kiven de lo machi, a katan that will not issue a formal mechiyah. Now remember the halacha is that where somebody is utilizing your field, every 3 years you need to issue a formal notification that that person is in this field not because it belongs to him, but through my indulgence, whatever the purpose is. That's not your business. I'm just putting in a claim right now it's my field. What that does is make certain that he'll never get a chazakah on this. So a child will not think of issuing a mechiyah because he's really going to believe. He knows this is his good uncle. He's really going to believe that his uncle's looking out for his best interest. After the time of the chazakah, 3 years pass, and the uncle claims it's his, and the court says, do you have any documents? How long am I supposed to keep documents? I've been here for the past 3 years, 10 years, who knows? So we'll say, well, that's true. But so since the cotton doesn't need to be know to be moche, we'll have a problem. Omar Rava Shmamin Amir Ravuna. But, says Rava, you see from this halach of Ravuna that since a cotton doesn't need to be moche, so paradoxically, what that would mean is that a chazak and a nixay cotton won't be any good. And that ein marzikin b'nixay katan. Because even if the cotton was subsequently yigdil, the problem over here is that the child grew up trusting a particular person. He doesn't question that trust, even as an adult. Because people get fooled by their childhood relationships, and until they learn enough to question their kind relatives, who turned out weren't so kind after all, it's too late for him to go to the court. The statute of limitations is run out. Therefore, we will not accept a chazaka. There's a machloket over. Almost everybody learns that this means even if you keep the full 3 years after. So in other words, he was a child when you went in as the uncle. Now, 5 years later, he's an adult. You're still taking care of it for him, and he asks you to stay on. And you've been there for 3 years. Now, as an adult, he knows he has to be mocha. And he isn't mocha. Still doesn't matter, because he was still functioning with a child's psychology, even though he's an adult. Amazing, right? The Rambam, however, learns that the period of which he was a katan, that's true, but the full 3 years, we start from count zero now. Now he's a gadol. So as an adult, after 3 years, it's up to him to think at this course classic Rambam. Think through your assumptions, sir. You know, now is the time. And if it ain't now, it's never. So that's his business. That's already not our business. So after 3 full years, after adulthood, according to the Rambam, indeed you could be maxim. Okay. Velo amar alabachei de abba. Now this whole thing only comes where the relative comes through a father. But if he's coming to the mother, what's he going to say? So if it's ache de ima, I mean, over there, there's no, what's the question? I mean, nobody's going to take him seriously that he's a yoreish. So there, letlanba, there we don't have a problem, bechalal. And I'll tell you even more, achid abi no lami lo amrin, elabar ata. The only time that we have a problem of a yorish, of a potential yore, being in the property of a katan, is only when you're talking about a field where people don't watch the going ons in the field. But in the family home, everybody knows that this was the home of this child's parents. The guy will never have the chutzpah to claim that the kid belongs to the doghouse because it's really his home and he's just being indulgent to the presence of the poor youngster. I mean, it's just, there's too many people know what's going on. So there where the shechinim are aware of what's happening in Babate, letlanba. And the truth is, even in our ata, namilo amrilavit itida, the only time that we're worried about a relative claiming ownership over the katan is where there was no shtar chaluka that had been made out in court. But if a shtar had been made out in court, then everybody remembers kala itle, and the guy simply won't have the chutzpah to claim that it was really his all along. But the truth is, all of that's not right. We don't accept any kulas at all when it comes to a minor orphan. So, lohi, lo shna achid aba, lo shna achid ima. Look, I mean, he could say that, yes, it's true you saw the father using it, but it was really my mother's nitzei malug. And actually, the father died before the mother died, and I inherited it from my mother, and this kid has no portion. I mean, God only knows what the guy can come up with. It's years later now. So we do not rely on the fact that he wasn't actually in line for the property. And it doesn't matter whether it's land or it's homes. Lo shna arata v'lo shna bati. The whole point over here is the creation of a myth in a child's mind. Because this will never come to court. Because the child's never going to bring it to court. So it's not like a normal case. If you can work on somebody's mind, and you've got years to be talking this child into somebody, I mean, it doesn't matter at that point who remembers what. Basically, nobody's going to interfere. That's the problem. And therefore, we don't accept even a normal call of a shtar, which normally is proof enough against anybody being a rami. It's not proof against taking advantage of a child. And therefore, there's absolutely no holds barred on our chumras when it comes to the protection of a katan who's a yatom. And lo shna arata, lo shna bati, it doesn't even matter if there was a shtar. Lo shna avid itita, lo shna lo avid itita, even as Tosis points out, we're usually somech on a kol of an itida, but be yitomim yichmiru yoter, and that is the klal. We're more machmir on yitomim, mean by definition minors. In all of the above cases, lo machtinan, we will not allow a relative to come into the rishus of a kol. Now, there was an actual fascinating case where a grandmother who had three daughters, one of the daughters had a son. The grandmother is captured by goyim together with one of her daughters and is now kept in isolation. We don't know what happened to her. Two of the remaining daughters were living outside of the area. They weren't captured. But the one who had the son died of natural cause. So what happened is the mother died. So the mother who wasn't captured, who had a son, died. So now Ishtaboy Ide Vichada Barta, the grandmother, and one of the daughters was now held by terrorists. Idach Tarte Venata, the remaining two daughters, Shkiva Chodaminayu, one of them died leaving a child, Shavka Yanuka. Now this case was brought to the court of Abaya to decide what to do with the property of the Safta. So Abaya said, oh God, what do we do now? Because no matter what you do, you're wrong. Because Hechinavi, what am I supposed to do? If I give the property into the hands of the next of kin, which is the other daughter, the remaining surviving daughter that's out, not captured. So should I give it into the hands of the daughter? I can't. Because if the Safta has died, then that would mean that the property belongs to a katan. Also, because he inherited from his mother who died. And now I'm not allowed to put a next of kin into the property of a katan, ever. So I can't give it to the next of kin, even though it might be the next of kin who has the right to the property. So what do I do now? Ein moridim karlo nechse katan. Shall I give the katan the property? No, I can't do that either. Nukmino le nechse biyadi de yinuka? Maybe the Safta didn't die. If the Safta didn't die, then that means that we are caring for the abandoned property of a victim of terrorism who is being held incommunicado. But the deal over there is you can never put a cotton in that property. So I can't give it to the cotton, and I can't give it to the Gedoyle. So what do I do now? Emorim katana nifsei shavui. Therefore, says Abai, okay, here's what we're going to do. Half, I'm going to give to, because, look, if the safta died, you know, so then she owns half and the katan owns half. So what we'll do is, we will give half to the surviving daughter, Liachata, and the other half, which might still belong to the safta if she didn't die, and therefore we can't give it to a katan, since it's a katan, we will be able to get an apotropos, because people will look at it as caring for the poor orphans, one of the best charities, you know. So what you do is you put an apotropos. That's what I'll do. So I'll take an apotropos, give the apotropos the part that may belong to the Yanuka, and if in fact the safta hasn't died, there's an adult that's taking care of the farm, the court-appointed guardian, who's taking care of it for the katan and perhaps for the safta. Whereas Rava says, no, that's, you see, you're anyway taking advantage of the guardian, right? Because the guardian may really be guarding it for the safta, who's an adult. But on the chance that the safta doesn't make it, so you're able to get a guardian. Okay, so if that's the case, you're able to get a guardian. Heck, you know, why not take advantage of guardian all the way?
Why?
Because we always prefer the guardian. See, this is the question.
Maybe.
Right. So what we do is, once you've got a guardian, migo de mukminin apotropa palga, half of the property anyway is going to be given. You might as well have the guardian take care of the whole thing. And mukminin apotropa yidach palga. Now, in the end, word gets out that the safta died. So lesof shama tishkiva safta. But now there's another problem. The daughter of the safta, we still don't know what's going on. If the safta died, then that daughter, if she's alive, is a one-third owner in the Yerusha. So one-third is owned by the katan, one-third is owned by her sister, that we know about, and one-third may be owned by a putative survivor among the terrorists, right? So now what do we do? So therefore, says Abaya, look, we've got the same issue, except that over here, we're going to be dealing with it as a Yerusha rather than as abandoned property. Because what we have here is a partial Yerusha. In other words, one-third definitely belongs to the cup, because we know that the grandma died. One-third definitely belongs to the other sister. It may be that each of them actually gets a half, in which case each one deserves an additional sixth, which is the half of the remaining third, which would give each one a half, Richie. Okay, so a third and a sixth, Richie, equals?
A third and a half equals?
No, a third and a sixth.
A third and a sixth?
Yeah, wow. Because a third is two-sixths.
A half!
There you go, Richie, that's wonderful, wonderful. You always wanted to get into medical school. So that way, each one would get a half. The problem is, I can't give that sixth to the cotton either, or to the other lady, can I? Because I've got the same problem, because that may be abandoned property, right? Because I don't know. I only know that this after died. So therefore, I say like this. One-third, which each one has the right to one-third for sure. So, the one-third goes to the surviving sister. The other third goes to the child. Now, the third-third, that's a problem. So, I do the same thing with the third-third that I did with the whole property before we found out that the safta died. So, I'm going to give one-sixth to the sister, because she's maybe next of kin, that is being yored into the possible nixei shavui, which is her sister's property, assuming the sister's alive. And the other sixth, well, what do I do? Since it's a cotton, I can't give it to the cotton because you can't allow a cotton to take care as next of kin for the property of a shvuya, and she may be a shvuya, so she's alive, the other woman. So therefore, the other sixth I will give to the cotton, but only through a guardian. So the guardian, just like I said before, will have a guardian. And Rava, just like you said before, is once you appoint a guardian over a piece of the property, you appoint a guardian over the whole doubtful piece, because it's exactly the same case. So mita de mukim apotropala danka, mukminin apotropala idar danka. Taking care of one-sixth of the apotropos, you might as well throw the whole third into the hands of the apotropos and have him care for the other sixth, yes?
But the other third went to the cut-in
because it's definitely his. It's a Yerusha. And we deal with the Yerusha separately and with the potentially abandoned property separately.
You could have one apotropic care of both.
That's Rava. Take care of what? Both. Of his Yerusha. Fine, but that's two completely different purposes. Okay, now, Mari Bar Isik, another fascinating case of disappearing relative. And this is another classic case. The long-lost relative who now wants a part of the Yerusha. So what happened is, over here, there was a guy named Isik who had a rather wayward son named Mori, who was a well-known troublemaker. Now, Isik had gone overseas, so to speak, to Beit Chozoy, when Mori was a boy, had taken Mori along with him, and over there took another woman and had a son in Beit Chozoy. Subsequently, Mori came back to his hometown. He grew up and became a famous gangster. So anyway, suddenly, Mori Bar Isik gets this brother who arrives from Beit Chozoi and says, I am your dearly beloved, long-lost brother who wants half of your property that you inherited from our lately lamented dad. Amale Plogli. Amale, who the heck are you? Lo Yadana Lecha, I don't know who you are. So Ata Lekami Rav Chista. So they come to Rav Chista. Now, Rav Chista's natural inclination, it's very important to understand this, because otherwise he should simply have said Amotzi Bechaver Lavarai. But Rav Chista's natural inclination, as we'll see later on, is to deal very heavy-handedly with Mori, because he was a well-known Rami and gangster. And usually the court is just kunes to people, by forcing them to bring proofs rather than vice versa. But in this case, Rav Chista said, well, it's very likely that he's telling the truth. I mean, you're going to say, well, I mean, he was in Beit Chozoi. He must have met the kid when the kid was, even if he met the kid. Who's to say that 20 years later, now he recognizes him? I mean, Shaper Kamerlecha, you know, he tells the guy from Beit Chozoi, he says, I mean, he's in his rights. Shinemar Vayaker Yosef Etecha Ve'im Lo Hikiru. I mean, look, you're coming here with a taina of, well, everybody knows there was a brother there, and like, why wouldn't it be me? And, well, you know, Malamichi Atzabalo Chatimat Zakanu, Baba Chatimat Zakan. I mean, the fact that he knew you as a child doesn't mean that you can claim that he's being an out-and-out liar. Omale. So therefore, said Rav Chista, look, you know, if you want to inherit, you're going to have to bring witnesses. So Zil Aitisadi Dachuad. Witnesses that know that you are, in fact, a child of the father of Mori. Omalei, so he said to Rav Chista, well, remarkably, I have witnesses and intended to present them to this court until they woke up this morning with a voodoo doll in front of the house and they're terrified of being made. Now, you know all about Mori, so what do you want from me? No, there's no way for me to bring witnesses in this town. So he says, they're afraid of him. Degavra alimahu, and I can't get them to testify. So he says to Mori, okay, so you bring witnesses that he's not your brother. Now, obviously, he can't be expected to bring witnesses that he's not the brother. So Stosis explains what he means is that since there are witnesses over here, therefore, bring those witnesses who claim to know your background, you bring them. You bring them as witnesses. Let's hear what they have to say. I mean, after all, you're saying the guy's not your brother. Okay, bring the witnesses. So now he's in a pickle. He's going to bring the witnesses. So basically, the court is not protecting the witnesses. So he says to Rav Chista, well, I mean, that's ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, you know, you can't do that.
I may be a cook, but I know
halacha. That's right. Omalei, Rav Chista said, Hachi dainina lecha lecha la'alimi dechavrecha. This is the way I treat all mafiosos, okay? Yeah.
What could the witnesses have said?
It's what he's going to ask. Omalei, so he says, but what good is it going to do you anyway? So, what's the point? I mean, if the witnesses are scared of me and you're claiming that I'm a mafioso, so, you know, odusadi velomisadi. I mean, they're not going to say what he wants them to say, according to you. I mean, you're claiming we can't rely on the witnesses because the witnesses are terrified of you. So therefore, you bring the witnesses. I mean, are you being a little naive? I'll bring the witnesses, all right. And then what? You know, the witnesses will do what I want.
What could the witness say would satisfy
the... The witnesses could say, this guy is not your brother.
How would he know that? How would they know that?
They're the witnesses that the brother was bringing, who came from Beit Chozoi, who know his father, him, and the brother. So this brother who came from Beit Chozoi says, I do have witnesses, but they're terrified. So says Mori to Rav Chista, I mean, what are you, naive? If you're worried that the witnesses are terrified of me, you're telling me you bring the witnesses, they'll say whatever I want anyway. So we're back where we started from. That's what I'm trying to tell you. He wants to get something out of me. What's the point of bringing witnesses?
What could Mori's witnesses say?
Mori's witnesses will say that this child is the well-known child of Mori's father, Isik. But everybody took this child, which is always the way we define who a child is. We never have to actually do DNA tests, right? Okay, so we have people who say we know him to be his child.
Grew up as his son.
He grew up as his son is sufficient. It's a chazaka. So he says to Rav Chista, okay, look, if you really think I'm from the mafia, so then you're just being stupid. Omale, Rav Chista said to him, no, not true. Because what will happen is that the witnesses will come and will suddenly say they can't really remember very well. That's what's going to happen. Once they start going, boo, 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 at that point we know what they really want to say. And then I will rely on him. a guy who claims to be your brother because of the fact that you're a mafioso. So tarte lo avde, they're not going, look, they may not be willing to be made for him, but they're not going to tell an out-and-out lie for you. They will manage to fump for the testimony. So even if they come in claiming that you're not his brother, they'll break down when I start asking questions. You'll see. I'm not as naive as you think. So we can always get witnesses to indicate to the court that they're under pressure. So therefore, I know exactly what I'm doing. If they don't stand up as witnesses that say that he's not your brother, I'm going to look at it as that you are his brother. So the Sof Atu Sahari, in the end, the witnesses actually said that he is the brother. So now that they were in the court, the Rukista was there, they said he was Ahua. So this brother is very happy. So he says, okay, now that we've made that determination, while I was busy waiting for you to deal with the issue, I made some inquiries here in town and discovered, gee, there's also Pardisim and Bustanim. So now there's vineyards that I hear that you planted, and there's orchards that you've planted. I never knew that. You've been really busy on Dad's property, haven't you? So I want half of them too. So Liflog Linami mi Pardise Ubistani the Shatal says Rav Chista, yeah, good claim. Shapir Kar Malach. I mean, he's right, he's in his rights. The Tzan, after all, it says in the Mishnah, a man who dies, leaving Banim Gdolim Uktanim, and the Gdolim invest in the Nechasim, then Nishbichu La'imtza. It's understood that any investments were put into the property and the Ktanim end up getting the rights to half of the field. Not that they have to say, and let's deduct whatever we put in. That's the din. Abayas said, now wait a minute. I mean, this is not fair. Midabi. Hatam gedolim gabi ktanim yadi v'kamachli. The whole point over there, in the normal case, is that the gedolim who are investing, understanding that they're ktanim there, that there's no way that they're going to be able to get their money back when the ktanim, okay, they're meichel, because otherwise they would have made a whole deal in court. Now look, let's do the chaluka, give us an apotropis, we'll invest in it. They didn't do that. So it's clear that they're mochel. But over here, he's claiming that, I don't know this guy. I didn't think that kid ever even survived. I mean, I had no idea I had a brother. The guy comes 20 years later and says, I am your long-lost brother. You're going to be able to tie it to me that, well, you invested knowing full well that you had a brother. That's not true. So I was never mochel. So I'll come the other the lechel. So that was a very valid taina that the guy went now to sue in a different court. So he got a milta matalakai b'dir Rabami. So Reb Ami was asked, oh, what do we do in this case? We have a machlokas from Kitzta and Abaye. So Amalahu, he said, look, I mean, there's even a bigger case, which is the case we've been talking about. Yadola Mizu Amru. We even have said that in a case where next of kin goes down to something which may be entirely his own, if the Baalim show up, he at least is protected to get the amount that an artist would get. So, I mean, how can you just take it from him? I mean, if he's investing, so we're certainly going to protect his own property. So, I mean, he should have a right to invest. If somebody claims that he's a long-lost brother, so then, okay, I mean, certainly he's not going to get less than an artist, is it? What do you mean, liflog? Just give him half of the property? It's crazy. I mean, well, all my investments go down the tubes. But I didn't even know there was, I think Abaye is 100% right, and that we need to work it out the same way we worked out the din of next of kin. So he's a next of kin, basically, who didn't know. Okay, what's the din of a next of kin who doesn't know, and there may be somebody. The din is that we give him as an artist. I mean, he's even better than that. So, Ash, did he daily have any light? But he thought it was his own property. We're not going to give him some rights. So then they went and told Rav Chista. This was the psak now of Rav Ami. So, Adrula came to Rav Chista. Rav Chista said, no, siri, it's not true. Because the case over there of next of kin is where the court has allowed the next of kin to go down. This is our takana for abandoned property. There was no abandoned property over here. The guy goes ahead, never discussed it. There was no will that was probated. The guy's father died, and he goes in, takes over the property without discussing it with anybody, without doing any research. Nobody's going to provide for him. The din of Oris is a takana of Besdin in order to ensure that a next of kin will be willing to invest in an abandoned property. But in this case, and even consider, let's pretend for a moment. Let's pretend that he had come to court. What would the court have said? You can't go into that field and make improvements because the next of kin of a cotton is the last guy that we let go into the field. We'll only give it to a guardian. We'll never give it to the likes of you. So therefore, there's no way that he ever would have had a right to be doing what he did. Therefore, anything that he did was basically meichel. Ve'in moridim karav l'nechsei katan. Ah, that sounded pretty good. They sent that taina back to Rav Ami. He's making a lot of sense from this. So Drula Kami de Rabami. So Reb Ami said, wait a minute. Lo Simuha Kame the Kotten. Nobody told me that part. In other words, they just told me there was a machlokas, a brother. That, I had no idea this took place years before, and he was still a minor. I mean, I didn't know that. If I had known that, then I would, even if I didn't accept Rav Chista's initial svara, which is that he didn't go to the court, I would say, okay, so he didn't know to go to the court. But certainly there's a standing takana that no next of kin can take care of the field of a cotton, unless it's with Mechila, like the brothers. And therefore, he's right. So then basically it's Mechila. So if that's what he did, didn't ask anybody, then he's stuck with the din of the Mechila of like a brother. And therefore, he's got to share it straight out.
Who was the cotton?
Maury's brother. Who
was the
cotton?
No.
At that time, when he made these investments and so on. And therefore, now that the brother shows up as a gadol, now he's with Chatimat Zakan, before he's without Chatimat Zakan, so to speak. So now he has a right to insist that he actually gets half. Oh boy, this was a lesson to Maury, let me tell you. You better take better care of your bitterness.
Maury. Maury just had him wiped out.
They don't tell us the part about the end of the story.
And Maury has only, I guess, a quarter or a third. But this guy, he was giving half. If he was getting the share of
No. The question is, would he get a share from the other person? His own half for sure he gets. But he should be able to get a third of the other person's or half of the other person's for his investment back, right? Huh? They didn't finish giving me all the details. They conveniently left out that little piece. Tana, v'chulam shamim lahem ke'aris. All right, ilam ashvuyim hashvezoris v'niska havi my dashbach mi boy. Ela anetushim v'amotzino tan miyado katani. Ela anetushim. Fine. Laman ilam l'rabbanan amre motzino tan miyado. I rabbi shemegon v'ilam rishamati shanetushim kishvuyim. Well, you don't mean literally kishvuyim. You mean kishvuyim v'lo shvuyim literally. Kishvuyim in the sense of they motzino tan miyado. But lo kishvuyin, diloat abzaris v'niskar, diloach hashaminan leikyaris, umayshna miyadetzana motzi otzaot anichse ishto, otzi arbeya kalkima, or otzi kimava kalarbe, it's irrelevant. Masha otzi otzi, masha kalachal, because this case is more similar to this. Adadam yalalaha, amotzi otzaot anichse ishto ktana, then it's the same as kimotzi anichse acher dami. What do you mean? There's no v'chulan. There's only one case. So v'chulan latuyimai. Latuyadim arim nakun arim shmuel. Shavui shenishba moridin karov l'nechassav. Yatzal et da'at. Ein moridin karov l'nechassav. Rem nakun didei amar. Boreach areo kishavui. When you say boreach, machmat maya, mi'ilam yamachmat karga. Haina ladat, because he had time to plan it. No, boreach machmat miradim. Guy's a murderer. Omer of Yerom Yishmuel, Shavui Shenishba, V'iniach Koma Lekzor, or Anavim Lefzor, or Tamarim Lekdor, or Zeytim Limsok, Beidin Yordim Lerchasav, Ma'amidim Apotropos, V'kotzer Botzer Godromosek. V'yacharkach, Moridim Krol Lerchasav. Wait. If we already got the Apotropos, look at Apotropos the Yolam, because Apotropos the Diknani Lom Mekmina. Omer of Yerom Yishmuel, Imori Dim Katan Lerchse Shavui, V'lo Karov Lerchse Katan, for that matter, not even a Karov Machmat Karov Lerchse Katan. Say Moridin Katan Lerchse Shavui, Demo Mavsidu. Lo Karov Machmat Karov even Lerchse Katan. That means Achemi Ima. V'lo Karov Lerchse Katan Bechlau, because given Lo Machi, Ote Lachzuke Bey. Omerov Shmamin Omer of Yerom Yishmuel, In Machzikim Lerchse Katan. Afilo Yigdil. V'lo Amr El Baki De Abba, V'ki De Ima, Letlan, Bavaki Dava Namilo Amra, Elabiar Ata, Babati Letlan, Obarata Namilo Amra, the Lavid Itta, Aval Avid Itta Kala Itle, and none of that is true. Veloi, Loshnake de Ava, Loshnake de Ima, Loshna Ata, Loshna Bati, Loshna Avid Itta, Loshna Lavid Itta. We never allow a next of kin in Lo Martina. Aye Safta, Avila Tlad Benata, Ishtaboy ihi vechoda barta, viidak tarte benata, shri vechoda minayo veshovka yenuka. Om Rabbi Hechinavi. Look, we know the next day beyond the acta. Diomashkiva Safta Vemor Nukarov Nixa Katan. Nukmina Lenixa Biada di Anuka, Diomaloshkiva Safta, Vemor Din Katan Lenixa Shavui. Omrabai Yoka, Palga Yavina la Le Akta, Vidak Palga Mukmina la Apotropos Yanuka. Rav Amar, well, once you're talking about an Apotropa, then Le Palga, Mukmina la Apotropa Lidak Palga. Lesof Shabu, the Shkiva Safta, but they never heard what happened to the daughter. Omrabaya, well, so then Tilta Yavinele La Akta, Tilta Yavinele Yanuka, Vidak Tilta Yavina Danka La Akta, Vidak Danka Mukmina La Patropa Yanuka. Rav Amar, on there too, Muigoduka Mapatropa Danka Mukmina La Patropa Lidak Danka. Now, Moribar Isaac, Atele Akami Bechuzoi, Omele Plogli, Omele Loyadanolacha, Atele Kamne Christo, Omele, well, I mean, he might actually be telling the truth this time. Shaper Kamalacha, Shemavay Aker Yosivitechab, Vehim Lohikiru, Melamchet Sabalochatimatzakan, Ababakatimatzakan. Omele, so zeal Aitis Adi Dechuat. Omele, well, actually, that's what I was planning on. And Idle Sadi, but they're too scared of him. The Achlimine, the Gavra Limo. Omalei l'lidei, meaning to Mori directly. So, okay, Suzil Ant, I decided. The Lavachuchu. Omalei, that's outrageous. Dina Hachi, Amotzi Gavralavaraya. Omalei, yeah, well, for Mafia people, we have a different set of laws. So, Hachi, Dainin l'chol, l'chol alimide chavracha. Omalei, but it's stupid then. Sof, sof, atusadi v'lobisade. Omalei, not true. Tarte lo avde. Anyway, in the end, the sof atusadi de'achuahu. Omar lay, oh, well, how about being liflugli nami mi pardise ubustani de shata? Omar lay, so if Chisa says tomorrow, yep, he's in his rights. Shaper kamalacha. Titzani niar banim gdalim uktanim yishbichu gdalim et anachasim yishbichu laemtsa. V'chein omar rabbi yishbichu laemtsa. Omar lay, that's not fair. I mean, dalai lab gdolim gai viktanim yade v'kamachle. But halcha, I mean, you have no reason to believe that he knew that he should be baichum. Look, I mean, it's even better than that. That in a case where we don't even know that he died, you know, but there's Shaman Lam Ka'oritz. So, I mean, this is a terrible sacrifice. I mean, he shouldn't get a right to his own property. So, Adrula Kabin Rav Chista, Omalo, excuse me, Midami, Hatam Brishut Nachit. First of all, Hakalav Brishut Nachit. And even if he had gone to court, they would have kept him away from that property with a 10-foot pole. Because the child, at that time, the brother was a cotton. Ve'imoridim korol v'nechse katan. Adrula kamin rame, omar lahura. They conveniently left out that detail. Lo simua kame, the cotton avoy. And in which case, Rav Chista actually is right.